Let's go on to next one. Let's follow Titus, the order of Titus, right? For older men, we'll go to older women in verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. And the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And you notice, only to the older women did he give them a job in verse 4. Have you ever thought about that? See, the old man, he never gave them any jobs. He did indirectly, meant saying they must be sober, reverent, and temperate, and this and that. But he never said what they should be doing. But the older women, he straight away say, hey, make them teach the younger ones. Says, why is that so? I'm not a woman, so I don't fully understand. But I'll just list down the points as I see in the Bible. And for older women, of course, Paul's other advice is, number one, same thing like the older men, treat them as mothers. Which again means that point number two comes, never raise your voice up against them. And of course, number three in the older men also applies. You don't mention their name and rebuke them from the pulpit. But number four is added for them. Give them something to do. Give them something to do. And here Paul gave them some work to do. Some work in teaching the younger ones. And said, why must that be done? Why must that be point four for the older women and none for the men? And it's more than likely that the men would be finding some things to do anyway. So for the ladies, it seems that Paul and the work that they do are channeled towards helping the younger women. That's interesting. The work that they do is channeled towards handling the younger women. And the way he says it is as if nobody else could handle the younger women but the older women. But it's not exactly that. It is this, that many of the younger women need guidance in things that no one else can teach them. I mean, now we have children, we have gone through the stages of seeing our children grow to a certain extent. I have a daughter who's 9 years old. And as we look back, my wife wished that when she was giving birth to children and we were having our first child, how nice it would be to have a really older woman, not someone who is just skilled in the world or in tradition, but someone who is in the Lord, to come and tell her, these are what it's like, these are the things, and to give the real good advice. It would have made things different. Because when we have our first child, we straight away, after some time, we fed our child on infant formula. But anyway, our second one came. We breastfed him for 2 years. And my wife said, I wish somebody had told me to do it for the first child. But nobody told her, because almost every woman or a lady she met who was a reasonably fresh new mother also, or who is a professional working wife or working woman, and not really the kind of godly woman who is possibly like John Wesley's mother, who could give all these kinds of advice. But now she can. And some of us think, if you think very carefully, you thought that, no, it's easier lah, just formula, you know. But you got all these milk bottles to wash, scrub, right? And they wear out, and all these things. And then, when we were traveling with our second child, we started traveling when he was a few months old, and my wife said, no, it's so easy now. No milk bottles, nothing. When he cries, just... right? And nothing to wash after that. Right? So, I said, Why didn't someone think of that before? And so we wish that somebody has who knew all these things and experienced all these things could have trained. And there are other things that women go through. Every woman who has children struggles for time. They fight for time. And I know some women who are so prayerful when they were single. Oh my, they're praying all the time. They're one of those women who are shaking all the time, you know, in the spirit, all the time. And then they got married and they stopped shaking. And I recently met one of them, and I said, "No, how is your spiritual life?" You know, she already has two children. I said, "How's your spiritual?" She was attending a church near her place when they got transferred, and I met them when I was preaching in that area, and I said, "How?" I still had a concern for them, and say, "How's your spiritual life? Are you still all right? Okay?" And are you still as prayerful? And she said, "No lah, now no time." Running after the children, you know, changing nappies and planning all these things. And I was sitting there, I said, how nice if an older woman could come, teach all these younger women, and said, don't worry, we've been through it all before. Here's how we managed to find time with God. Because they would have brought up children. And the sad thing sometimes is this, when a marriage is in difficulty, Some of the men and some of the women go and consult another person who already has a broken marriage or is a former divorcee. What kind of advice do you think they will give? They should be seeking someone with a successful family. It will be just like if you have problems in your piping in your house. You don't call the telephone company. Yet, when they got these family problems, and I see it happening all the time, and I believe in preaching as it is, that we need to tell people to know where to go, because a lot of those problems, wives sometimes have a problem with their husband, husband with their wives, and of all the people they consult, sometimes the person they consult is not even married. So they say, oh yes, we know all about it. The Bible says. Right. They know everything in the Bible. It's just like one young man I met who, just before he got married, he had everything tied together exactly how to bring up children. So he sometimes tried to say a few things about bringing up children to us. You know, hey, it should be like this, like this, like this. We just not, yeah. Now he's married with one child. I say, how is it, brother? Ayah, you know, different lah. So, you know, his theology has to be practicalized before it becomes principles. And actually, before it was not really theology, right? It was guessing logic. And so, there is these areas, they are there. The older women who have known the Lord, who are successful. And why does Paul especially mention it? Because a lot of women go through more stress than men. We men think we get stressed in the work. You don't understand that for women it's different. When women go through stress, it's like survival. If I don't survive, I go mad. For men, if they go through stress, they go and play golf. So, it's important for us to understand that this is an important practical advice that Paul gives for older women. And how nice when we see older women forming fellowships and they could advise the younger women when they see. I believe in every church we should organize in such a way that when someone is expecting, the older woman will come and tell everything as much as you can, and it should be someone experienced and someone who knows how to adapt principles to individuality, not someone who just gives formulas. That's an important area of ministry for older women. And in verse 4, they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children. And here are advice for young women, and Paul's regard again to them is treat them like sisters, and then treat them with purity. That would be point two from the other side of 1 Timothy 3. Point one is treat them as sisters. Point two, in regard to that, which adds to that, which should be purity. It means you're discreet in your relationship with them. And here he speaks about, besides the family area in verse 4 and verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And you notice how they emphasize loving the husband two times in verse 4 and verse 5. You know why? Because it's difficult. You say, hey, how can Paul be so one-sided, you know, tell the woman, didn't tell the man? Because women have the harder part. Let me point it this way. It's harder to submit. It's always harder to submit. I know to lead also is difficult. But when you're in a close relationship, to submit and yield is always the harder part. That is why up to now people struggle to yield to Jesus as Lord. We don't struggle to yield to Jesus as Savior. But there's a natural reaction. A businessman who have plenty of things will find it hard to make Jesus Lord. Why do people struggle to give their tithes, to bring their tithes? Because it's easy to look at God as Savior, but it's hard to look as God as Lord over our finances. The struggle is always to submit. And that is why if a woman is not married, then they are regarded in the same basis as everybody else. But in a marriage relationship, they actually have the harder part. They got to live through somebody else's life. And therefore, the struggle to submit needs more coaching. Needs extra coaching. It's a harder game of life to play. Harder game role to play. Needs coaching how to submit. That's why all the teaching in revival, when you're in a revival meeting, is how to travail and yield our will to God. But other areas of getting things from God, that everybody seems to catch on faster. Right? Oh, how to get this, how to get that, right? And always all the best-selling books in Christianity is how to get prosper in God, or how to this, and how to that. But if all you write is a book like maybe Andrew Murray that says, Absolute Surrender. And once in a blue moon, someone will go and buy it. Because everybody wants to learn how to get, but very few people want to learn how to yield. So they need extra coaching. But in other areas, like the word chase, if you look in the Greek word, it means balancing between the natural world and the spiritual world. In other words, being balanced in the area of the way they handle their lives. Now, let's go to young men in verse 6, and they got different problems too. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in verse 6. The word sober means serious. Why is a lot of young men who are not serious enough in life? All they want to do is get sidetracked by the things around them. And for young men, if you cross-reference to the teachings in Timothy, one is being serious-minded. In other words, being goal-orientated, having your life planned fully. And involved in number two, every young man has to wrestle with lust in their life. Now, I know young women also do, but especially the men, They have to wrestle with lust in their life and overcome it. And if you cannot overcome it in your life, it will be a long, hard road onwards.